Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Filmmakers Danny and Michael Filippo step away from their wildly successful career video work via YouTube and bring a sharp-edged sensibility to the world of horror in the film Talk to Me. Conjuring Spirits has become the latest local party craze. Looking for a distraction on the anniversary of her mother's death, Mia is determined to get a piece of the otherworldly action. Again, the film is called Talk to Me, and we're joined today by the co-directors, Danny and Michael Filippo. To both of you, welcome to Film School Radio.
Hello.
Danny, I'll start with you in terms of the inspiration for this project. Let me first say before you answer that you have been doing a lot of video work, a lot of online YouTube stuff for a while now, and very popular stuff over the last many years. I think 1.5 billion hits on your work. Why so long to wait for a feature? What was it about this material that really interested you for a first feature film?
We got so caught up and swept up in the whole YouTube phase. Like, it became our jobs very quickly. We went, the channel was lucky enough to go viral very quickly, and it sort of steered our attention away from the film stuff, because we're making short films leading up to, you know, the release of Raka Raka. We were making stuff since we were 9 years old, and we were making a bunch of short films, and the YouTube stuff just got traction, was getting eyeballs on us. So we ran with it. We kept running with it, and it kept achieving things. So we got caught up in it. And then a couple of years ago, YouTube was facing demonetization issues. Like, they weren't allowing edgy content to be on the platform anymore. And so it sort of sucked out our way of expression. We couldn't express ourselves anymore. We couldn't be as creative as we were once allowed to be on the platform. So that's when I started writing again. And thank God I did, because it was just, yeah. And Talk to Me was the first script that I wrote. Getting back into it. I hadn't written for a while. So it was, getting back into the swing of it. And that was the starting point. It was
amazing. We'll talk about your collaboration with, is it Bill Hinsman? Is that right? But let me ask, yeah. Michael, when your brother comes to you with this material, you know, he's developing, you know, he's working on it. What was the thing that kind of was the moment when you said, we've got to make a feature with this?
Well, we've been writing lots of different projects over the years. Like, we have like 15 in active development, like that we've got in different phases. We've just ADHD minds. We kind of bounce everywhere. But Danny, when they started working on this script that I was reading pages, and there was just scenes in it, I'm like, this feels like it could be something special. There was a certain moment in it. I was like, oh, this feels like it's something like fresh and different and is layered. So we thought it was the right one to do for the first movie.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the plot without giving too much away. So these teenagers, and it is everybody who has been a teenager has probably faced some kind of a situation where you're in a group of people and they want to do something a little bit reckless. They want to do something that your parents don't want you to be doing, right? So Danny, let's talk a little bit about how this what's the motif in this is the hand that takes us to another place, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And it was just
it's kind of a seance, isn't it? I mean, a bit of a seance idea. Yeah.
No. It's a bit of a seance. And like, the idea was that kids are using demonic possession to get high. The film is about forced connections between people and real connections between people. And the hand is sort of a representation of forcing a connection with someone that, like, if it's in a social situation or if it's with a family member, there's just like certain situations where people aren't bonding naturally and you're trying to force that connection with somebody is roughly what it's, you know, representing. So yeah, the whole thing was inspired by this group of neighbors that we sort of watched grow up from ages 8 to 18. And then one of the boys that we live next to was trying drugs for the first time, and he was having a really negative reaction on the floor and he was convulsing, and everyone that he was with was filming it and laughing at him. And I saw the video, and it was like a really striking, horrifying video. Like, it was just so the mix of what was happening was so strange to see, yeah, everyone laughing at him in a state like that. So that image really just stuck in my head, and that was sort of the genesis for a lot of the scenes in Talk to Me.
I also read where, and to what you're talking about, Danny, Michael, I read where the starting point, as you put it in the notes, it had to be a completely believable world. I really want to congratulate you on the way you went about establishing the characters and putting them in places that, as I said, we've all been in some manner of speaking when we were growing up in a group setting, peer pressure, call it what you want. We've been there. And this world is very believable, which makes the horror in the film that much more frightening.
Yeah, that was very important. And that's what the best thing about movies like that, especially genre ones, when you connect with the characters, it makes it that much more, like you said, like it means a lot more when the bad stuff happens. And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to make characters that were grounded in reality and that you can relate to that. So when things do go sour, you can go, oof, you know, have that kind of reaction. I mean, we kind of want to do that with all our movies, have, you know, like I say, it's a genre film, but also with heart and relatable characters, very important to us.
Yeah, if the world's too fantastical and the characters are too fantastical, the horror elements or the other fantastical elements will sort of lose their punch and their meaning if everything's too elevated.
Make it current as well. Like back in the day, you know, in the old days, it's like, don't walk in the dark, don't, you know, do the Ouija board and stuff. Whereas this current generation is do that, do walk in the dark. Do play the Ouija board and film it and film your reactions. Like that's where we're at now, where, you know, that's a generational thing that I think is very interesting as well to capture.
Yeah, everyone loves ghost hunting and escape rooms, or, you know, they're in love of horror films. So I think if there was people were obsessed with doing the Ouija board and filming it, or staying in graveyards or abandoned exploring there, I think that, yeah, the generation today is excited by the idea of it, of the other world.
Well, I mean, I'll ask you, Michael, is this something that carries beyond sort of the film itself, the story itself? Is this something that you have a sense of? Is the other world, the nether world, is that something that you feel is feasible or plausible in the world?
Yeah, I don't necessarily, like with ghosts and stuff, I'm open-minded. Like when we travel to countries and stuff, I'll purposely stay at the most haunted place to see if something happens, you know. Oh, this room's haunted. I'm like, oh, I'll sleep in there because I want to see if it is real. Like I'm looking forward to that, and I find it interesting speaking with anyone that's kind of related to the paranormal world, you know, like psychics and ghost hunters and things like that. It's fascinating to me. I don't just shut it down and go, oh no, it's fake. I like hearing the points of view and being open. So yeah, I go to these places and invite experiences to happen.
How about yourself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm exactly the same. Any time that anyone talks about ghosts or UFOs or anything of the fantastical, I get super excited. My ears perk up. It's just like a reality beyond our reality. And the idea of it is fascinating and exciting to me. So, yeah, we've stayed at like 8 of the 10 most haunted places in the world. And we're just always curious and excited to talk to people that are, yeah, that have jobs in that field. And, yeah, the whole world is just so fascinating to me.
I'm with you. I have a hard time believing that this is the only plane of existence in the universe, that this is it, right? Yeah. I do believe that there is something, obviously something beyond ourselves. I want to talk about the kind of the filmmaking part of it, the technical part of it. It's a hell of an opening 5 minutes in the opening 3 or 4 minutes maybe of them at the party, and how that it really kind of it's jarring, and then it sort of sets in motion so many things in the film. And also shooting this film, I wanted to mention your cinematographer, Aaron McLiskey.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
I thought he did an incredible job. I mean, the lighting is certainly very critical to the success of this film. Really a lot of stuff that's shot in the dark, shot with low light. I just thought it had a fantastic look to it. And
yeah. Aaron, that's what was cool about working with all these departments, like Aaron with camera, where he'd create things that look better than what we imagined in our mind, what it would look like. Like if it's a close-up or whatever, then anything Aaron comes up with is just like cinematic gold, you know? And we saw his stuff and we like loved seeing his his work, but we were wondering if we'd how we'd vibe with him like on set and stuff. But he's really easygoing, fun, and like down when it's in the crunch to like, you know, change things up and like move with pace. He was amazing. So yeah, it was seeing it, the script come to life with the all these departments doing their job, like it was just amazing to see.
Yeah, I'd seen his short film he did, a cinematographer on, called Nursery Rhymes, which was this one big tracking shot following a car accident. And that short always stuck with me. And when his name came up and we were bouncing around ideas, like his name stuck out. And I looked up what he'd done. And when I saw Nursery Rhymes, I was like, oh, God, I've got to meet him. So I reached out to him on all different social media pages. I'm like, please, I really, really want to talk to you about my film. Yeah, he's so inspiring to work with. And with our YouTube stuff, we always just shot everything ourselves. And it was amazing to have an artist take over that and then bring his own sensibilities to it. It was incredible.
And that shot, the party shot, that was the final shot of the shoot. We did it last because we were in the middle of the, we were going to do it first, but it was in the middle of the pandemic that we were shooting. So we did it last because all those extras there. Yeah, like I think it took 10 takes, but we got it in the end. And when we last got it, you should see the footage when we get it. We're like, we got it. And everyone at the party's like,
yeah, the party went crazy. The party started partying. Yeah, when we
yeah, the that party shot. Was partying for real.
And the kids, like, it was so cold out there, and the kids were jumping in the pool. It was like 4 a.m. in the morning. It was, yeah, exhausting but amazing, like capturing something like that. It was such an incredible experience.
Yeah, well, there's just a lot of other technical aspects of the film. I love the sound design. I love the editing. Again, the pace of it. You build in tension. Is there between, I'll start with you, Danny, anyone in particular in terms of filmmakers that you either like or you feel like there's a sort of a look or a feel to a film that you admire? Anybody that jumps to mind for you?
Yeah, well, we're in love with Bong Joon-ho and Memories of Murder, and we're in love with how he jumps between genres and how he can have a serious crime noir and then balance it off with this insane slapstick comedy. Like, I like that strange tone that he's able to balance, and it never feels off-putting or it doesn't feel like it's out of place. It just creates the world and it makes everything feel rich and unique. And so I like, yeah, that example of jumping between tones. So that was something that we kept in mind for Talk to Me, because there's comedy aspects to the film as well, and there's horror aspects and there's drama aspects. So we genre dip.
How about yourself? Anybody in particular?
Well, there's a lot of filmmakers that we draw inspiration from. Yeah, Bong Joon-ho is a great one. Even like, you know, the like obvious ones like Quentin Tarantino and stuff. Like the way he shoots, like his action sequences and stuff, like the practicality of it and the fast pace, like how fast paced it is and like real time it is. But it's quick and it's explosive and things like that. There's an energy that I think growing up that we maybe kind of adopted, you know. Without or like subconsciously, and I think there's a lot of these directors that we love, they're kind of ingrained in us a little bit, you know, that in ways that we wouldn't even realize.
And finally, the last couple of minutes I have with you, I want to talk about the cast. And I mentioned to you Sophie Wilde, who plays Mia in the film. Everybody's good. I mean, really, seriously, everyone does a great job. She's, in my mind, she's the one we focus on most. She's the one in some ways carries the film. And I just, her look, her eyes, her bearing, her ability to be a lot of different things in the film, a pal, you know, the villain in some ways, just there's so much that she was on her shoulders. I thought she did a fantastic job here.
Yeah, she initially auditioned for a different character, but her audition just, she wasn't right for that character, but we could just see her variety and her skill level from the audition. And so we proposed the idea of maybe casting her as the lead, and the powers that be were a bit iffy on it just because she wasn't a name and there were no names in the film at that point. But we really fought for her, and our producer Samantha was on our side, and so we were luckily able to cast her and all of her rehearsals, every part of it, she was just so incredible with, and she was down to push the limits and explore. Like, there were days that we wouldn't let her sleep before shoot so that she could get into a fragmented mindset and be exhausted and be tired. And she was just down for all of these things. Like, she was so, yeah, she was so committed and incredible. Like, we know Sophie's going to be a star, a huge star.
She was fantastic. Not to disparage or belittle anyone else in the film, but she is fantastic in the film. My congratulations to you both. the film truly wonderful. If you like horror films and you like a horror film that has something going on in a lot of different ways, family trauma, teenage angst, relationships, mother-daughter relationship, just all kinds of things that are going on that tell a deeper story, Talk to Me is a film you're going to love. And so we've been joined today by the co-directors of this wonderful film, Talk to Me, Danny and Michael Filippo. So thank you so much for being here today, and all the best moving forward. First feature, come back when the second feature is right. I'd love to talk to you again, guys.
Yeah,
thank you so much, Mike. Thank you.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.